Oh my goodness, folks. Well, I hope you didn't miss too much there. I think Board was on cue. You are tuned into Everything Under the Sun, the Sopra Sun's weekly radio program right here on KD&K. Fortunately, you did not miss anything from our show today, because we just got here. I'm your host today for Everything Under the Sun, the Sopra Sun's weekly radio program, James Steinler, and I'm here along with our new co-host.
I'm Arthur.
Thank you so much for being here, Arthur. And we have an exciting show for you today. The Sopra Sun and the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, which is a youth empowerment, youth radio empowerment program, of course, housed right here at KD&K. We collaborated on a week-long environmental podcasting and storytelling workshop that just concluded right before this show. So I am joined by several young people in the studio right now. I don't think we've ever had this many young people in the studio before. How are you, young people?
Pretty good.
Good.
Excellent.
Muy bien.
Phenomenal.
Fantastic. Well, I have to say, it's been a real pleasure, and I've gotten to work with each of you this week as a representative and instructor at the Sopra Sun. We're going to see some of your work as a result of this workshop that we've been doing for the last week in the newspaper. We're also going to hear some podcasting episodes aired over the radio. Are you guys excited to see your hard work pay off and in print and aired over the airwaves?
Yes. We're ecstatic.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. and so first, if you don't mind, I'd love it if we can go around the room. I know Arthur and I have introduced ourselves, but, if we could all go ahead and introduce ourselves. And I'm actually going to put Adele, on the spot, because Adele's amazing, and this, workshop and collaboration would not have happened, without her initiative. So go ahead, Adele.
Thank you, James. My name is Adele Kraft, and I am one of the co-instructors for our environmental podcasting and storytelling camp, along with Megan Weber and Brendan Gerardo, and of course, James Steinler, right here in the studio. We have had such an amazing week together, full of radio and newspaper knowledge and mini lessons and workshops and some field trips, thanks to our amazing community partners. I won't talk too much right now. I will pass it to my right to Saxton here. Will you introduce yourself?
My name is Saxton. My topic was droughts.
Fantastic. And you learned a lot about droughts, didn't you, Saxton?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I want to ask you about that in a little bit. But first, how many interviews did you have, Saxton? How many people did you interview this week?
I interviewed 3.
Oh, my goodness. And you ended up going for a podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, listeners, you'll hear Saxton's piece on droughts coming up here on KD&K in the coming weeks.
Yes.
Thank you, Saxton. How about you, young Ozzy?
I am Ozzy Molnar. My topic was the synthetic insecticides known as neonicotinoids.
And none of us had any idea what a neonicotinoid was before
this.
Neither
did I, actually.
How did you discover what a neonicotinoid or learn about it?
Well, actually, when I was scrolling online to find potential topics for our first night's homework, I came upon an article by the Denver Post about neonicotinoids.
Okay, great. And I'm going to have you explain what a neonicotinoid is, but we'll hold off on that for now. Let's go ahead and go to young Bass.
Hi, my name is Bass, and I was studying microplastics and nanoplastics being found inside bees and affecting pollination.
Awesome. And we had a preview of your completed podcast already. Well done. A round of applause for Bass.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bass already finished his podcast episode that will air again on KD&K in the coming weeks. It was really well done. And also neat that both your podcasts and Ozzy's story related to the welfare for bees, which also feed other aspects of the environment. And so thank you, Vass.
Thank you.
And Juno.
Hi, I'm Juno, and me and Lou, who will introduce herself shortly, we're working on a podcast and article about wolves being reintroduced to Colorado.
So you guys are doubling up. You're doing a podcast and an article. Wild.
Yep.
I'm excited. And that's also very important and very thoroughly covered story and very relevant right now, isn't it? You got, and is that kind of what gave you the idea to look into wolves? And you could answer this as well, Lou.
The only reason I decided on doing wolves was because Juno was doing it. So Juno should probably be the one answering that question.
Sorry, repeat the question.
Well, was the fact, were you aware that wolves were very much relevant right now in Colorado?
And yes.
Is that, okay. And is that kind of what brought you to want to learn more about them? And
mm-hmm.
Cool. Awesome. Well, and then, Lou, sorry, I didn't even let you introduce yourself yet. Lou and I are very well acquainted. Lou is an intern with the Soapris Sun, and will actually be the Soapris Sun's first youth editor coming up next semester. But we'll get all to that a different time. Lou, please introduce yourself and add a little bit more about your topic.
Hi, my name's Lou Gall. I'm the future youth editor of the Soapris Sun. And I learned a lot about wolves, more than I ever wanted to know about wolves, necessarily. But we really wanted to focus on understanding wolves and understanding why they do have such a massive stigma around them, and also how they are actually affecting our Colorado ecosystems, because there isn't a lot of information online about that.
Hmm. Well, and also, I know that you got the chance to speak with a couple local ranchers.
I did.
So,
it's true.
So, looking into not only the effects to the ecosystem, but perhaps it's certainly related, but effects to agriculture.
Yes, absolutely. We learned a lot about how it affects a lot of our local cattle ranchers. Mm. And then next Monday, I should have somebody from Colorado Parks and Wildlife reaching back out to us.
And that will be implemented into your story, right? Into your story in the Soapris
yes,
Sun.
Yes, it will be.
Cool. So look out for that in the coming weeks, and also a podcast that Lou and Juno just wrapped up a little bit ago. They interviewed Marge and Bill Fales, who are also very eco, they're ranchers, but also very eco-minded, I would say.
I would agree with that statement, yes.
Very cool. So, anyone could answer this next question, but what made you sign up for this environmental podcasting and storytelling workshop put on by the Andes Inca Youth Empowerment Program and the Soapris Sun? Crickets.
Okay. Oh, I guess I'll respond. So, to be honest, it was fully James. James Steinler from the Soapris Sun, you know, the guy that's also here. He texted me and was like, hey, or maybe I was in the office, I don't know. But he was like, hey, you should sign up for this. So I did, knowing nothing about it. And it's been a lot of fun. I've had a great time. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And your past experience as a reporter certainly lent itself to your efficacy in this project, I would say.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you're natural. I heard like Adele comment just how like you're naturally inquisitive, which is a good thing for this line of work.
Thank you.
Yeah. How about you, Ozzy? What made you want to sign up for this this workshop?
Well, essentially, my mom told me about it, and yeah, it seemed like something I might be interested in.
Cool.
And that's all I have to say.
Beth?
The reason I joined is because of my mom. I was just laying on the couch, and she was like, oh, by the way, Bass, I signed you up for this thing. like a month ago, and I forgot about it until today, and it was the day before I had to go. So
that is so your parents are really big incentivizers. They like to incentivize you guys to try some new things. Mm-hmm. Was the idea, and Saxon, I'm looking at you for this one, was the idea of journalism and looking into journalism appealing to you, and what did you think about that coming into this project?
Well, first of all, I didn't really know I had to do this. My mom kind of told me last minute.
And Seems to be a theme.
Telling me at the beginning of the summer now, but I forgot. So then I kind of had to come. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I learned about droughts, I guess.
You learned about droughts. And how about when it comes to journalism, do you feel like it's after this experience, is journalism, podcasting, storytelling, is it easy?
No.
It's pretty challenging, right?
I mean, I spent almost the entire day editing lots of stuff, which was very fun.
Yeah. But now you've nearly concluded your podcast.
Yeah.
Which will be a pretty long segment, I'm guessing.
No, not really. Probably 10 minutes, maybe 15.
Okay, fantastic. And how's the feeling now that you're done? Has it been rewarding?
Yes, I'm very glad that I'm done, because then I can go chill now.
Yeah.
I've been busy all week.
I could tell you there is that sense, and I know Megan Weber, who's also been one of our instructors, and is a great journalist and does the library report for the Soper Sun, and our Soper Sun interns here too will empathize with it's a lot of work to get a story done and to tell a story properly, but there is mm-hmm. a great sense of relief once it's done, if it's done right.
Yeah. Hopefully it is.
I think from what I've heard and your interviews, I think it's going to be really great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, very good.
For our listeners, you are tuned in to Everything Under the Sun, the Soper Sun's weekly radio program right here on KDNK. I'm your host, James Steinler, and I'm joined by my co-host.
This is Arthur.
The one and only. And we are speaking with students who just participated and finished up the environmental podcasting and storytelling workshop co-hosted by Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program and the Soper Sun. We're about halfway through our show. I think Adele had something to add.
Oh, I was just really curious. Throughout the week, we've had different workshops. We've been learning a lot. We've gone out on field trips. And I was curious if you could share your favorite part of the week or something that you learned about your topic or process.
I love it. Let's start with you, Lou.
Okay. Because I always have something to say.
You do. Skin quality.
I had a really fun time when we went down to Crystal River and we got a rock around barefoot and jump in the river. I enjoyed going to the farmers. Pretty much everything. It was a great time. I got to hang out with a bunch of fun people. I made a new friend, which is always great. I love making friends. We're going to hang out.
That's the best.
And in general, I feel like I'm better informed on things that I knew about, but I didn't really care about before. And now I'm like, why is this happening? So yes, it's one more thing to take up my brain, but I think it's a pretty good one.
Awesome. How about you, Juno?
I agree with what Lou said. Pretty relatable. I also enjoyed going out, like, just spending time in the wilderness. It was pretty great. It was pretty fun. I met a lot of new cool people and learned a ton about wolves that I did not know. And I thought I knew a lot about wolves, but I guess I didn't. So that was pretty cool, I guess.
Did your research into wolves, like, kind of change your mind or your perspective a little bit from what you knew before?
No, not really. I still think they're pretty fascinating creatures, and I would love to keep learning more about them.
Cool. Awesome. Bass?
I had a lot of favorite parts, but I think I really liked going to the beach and walking around barefoot, like Lou said. And it was also really nice seeing and meeting new people, and they're all really cool people.
Just
really cool.
Yeah, you've met all these new people who are have a plethora of knowledge about different things, including bees. Did you see any bees down by the river?
Mm-mm.
Have you seen any bees during this week-long project?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember the wasps, actually. I think about it. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We did stumble into a wasp's nest outside the Soprius Sun office. Be careful, Raleigh.
I'm sure there were bees on our field trip to True Nature.
But also somewhat related, because you, and I know you looked into microplastics, you know, and there have been, I think, I've noticed over the years, years where there are definitely seem to be less bees or less pollinators, and because like things like microplastics or neonicotinoids can be harmful to bees and are having a pretty drastic effect on them. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Bass. Ozzy, what was your favorite part about the week?
You know, there's so many experiences to choose from, but I think I want to choose where we went up the river near Marble, up to near like the turnoff to Marble, and to talk to this guy about the wolves mostly.
That's awesome. A lot of wolf talk this week.
And beavers. Don't forget the beavers.
And we should give that guy a shout out. Sheehan Omar, right? Sorry, Sheehan.
Sheehan Mar.
Sheehan Mar. I apologize, Sheehan.
He was so much fun to talk to.
He is a character, isn't he?
He is wonderful.
It was great.
So inspiring. And while we are giving thank yous, I'd also like to give a special shout out to Laura Kirk at True Nature for giving us a tour.
Woo.
And to Sarah Johnson for coming to our class this morning and chatting with us. Okay, Sexton.
Favorite part?
My favorite part was probably chilling
editing.
In the river.
Chilling in the river?
Yeah.
And your, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, because your topic, of course, was droughts.
Yes.
Have you, and what did you think about the water level of the Crystal River?
Well, usually it's higher than it is since I've been there. I mean, I've been to the Crystal River, and I got to say probably a while, mm-hmm. So I don't really know. But it's definitely lower, and I can tell because I have a river near my house, which is definitely lower than usual. But, yeah.
It's interesting to actually observe and see something related to your story and, like, droughts, and actually see that in for yourself.
Yeah.
Cool.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you all really like the river. Which is understandable because it was a hot week.
Oh, it was so warm outside, James.
That's so. Let's. I do, just because we briefly brushed on topics, but let's just go around and just say one thing specifically that you learned regarding your topic. Okay, and I'm gonna go ahead and start with young Ozzy on this one, because Ozzy and I just finished writing the rough draft for his story. And about and first, if you could tell listeners again, Ozzy, what neonicotinoids are.
The term is neonicotinoids.
Thank you very much.
And so you want me to tell
basically
what they are? They're insecticides that have been killing or harming bees and the pollination, kind of doing like the same thing as the microplastics have been doing, or just killing the bees, mm-hmm. And neither of which are good.
And they're very commonly used, these
yes, they are, actually. They're systemic, so they're injected, or like seeds are either coated in them before planted, or it's sprayed into the soil. So the insecticide is like inside the plant. So it's not like harmful to us. That's why it's so popular.
Right. Yeah, really interesting. And we got to speak with Mariah Foley from the Colorado State University Extension Office in Garfield County, who really, you know, it was hard to find someone with such a niche topic. So thank you, Mariah, so much for helping us out. And look out for that story, folks, because it is really interesting. And neonicotinoids?
Neonicotinoids,
thank you, are quite common. In fact, they're used for about 30% of crops worldwide, and including here in the United States. Awesome. All right, Saxon, what's something you learned that was interesting about droughts?
Well, I learned the Colorado Compact. It's the where we give water to the other states has a very big thing to do with droughts, because we give almost half of our water away to other states who don't have as much water. But I also learned that those states are, they need a lot of water.
Yeah,
because especially Arizona, they're very dry.
Right.
And but yeah.
So water is also, you learned, a political issue.
Yes, I mean, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you got to learn about the Colorado River Compact, which was passed in
1922.
Very good. Very fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Arthur, why don't you ask Lou what you
think? Okay, Lou. So I'm wondering, when it comes to wolves, what was the most unexpected thing that you learned? Or, because I know you said you went into kind of stigmas, or I don't forget the word. I'm sorry.
You're doing great.
Thank you. Around wolves and the effect that they have on farming and stuff like that in Colorado as they're being reintroduced. What was the most unexpected thing that you learned, or thing that you was misinformation?
So I'm going to be fully honest. Every single turn, there was something unexpected. Every article, I was like, wait, what? This is exactly the opposite of what the last article just said. I think one thing that was very interesting, at very least, was talking to Marge Perry, who is a local rancher around here. And she detailed how CPW will often inaccurately count the number of wolf deaths due to the fact that they can't find sufficient evidence that a wolf killed it, even when it is almost fully clear that a wolf was responsible, because and coyotes and other animals of such were just scavenging off of the already dead carcass. And I think it was very interesting to learn about how a government agency that is often so respected is spreading a lot of misinformation in the number of deaths, of cattle deaths resulting by wolves. And I found that incredibly interesting because it's people's livelihoods.
Yeah. And I want to speak to that a little bit because it is interesting, and there's that variance between numbers, which I was really appreciative of you asking Marge about. But yeah, it's hard for CPW. I don't think they're intentionally spreading misinformation.
No, absolutely not. They're doing
but,
amazing.
But yeah, it is hard to also for them to get to locations, investigate, and determine wolf kills. But there's certainly that transparency. Mm-hmm. Discrepancy. We are running late on time, y'all. We have about 3 minutes left. So I'm going to go on to Bass. If you could tell us one quick fact that you learned about microplastics and bees, and then we're going to wrap up our show.
I actually learned that bees lose their vision and their memory as well, instead of just like getting really sick and losing energy.
Really? Okay, and as a result of microplastics?
Yep.
Lose their vision and their memory.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I mean, when you think about this, like, happening to yourself, like, it just seems like, you know, kind of terrible. So, well, thank you guys. And thank you for talking about the camp. It was super fun this week. It was very high energy, highly informative. just really great. Any final thoughts? I'll offer you, Adele, first, if you'd like to say any final thoughts before we conclude.
I just want to say I am so proud of this group of students because you just embarked on a fairly academic endeavor for a summer workshop. We tried to balance it with some fun and time in the river and time outside, but you also spend a lot of time writing and a lot of time in front of your computers. So I just want to take a second to celebrate all of your hard work, and I think it really paid off. We're excited to read and listen to your stories.
So excited.
Also, thank you to everyone involved. You are awesome.
Yes. And you guys, you research topics that got to teach your instructors quite a bit, too.
Absolutely.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, ASYEP, Sopra Sun Youth Team. Listen out for those podcasts, folks, coming up, and articles in the Sopra Sun. And stay tuned for Regional Roundup at 4:30.